Okay, we're up to Perek Chafe. Okay, we're sorry, we're up to Perek Chafe, Pasik Ches. In Pasik Ches, we're in the middle of this Perek Chafe deals with the Korban of Amon, Moav, and Edom. It's called Edom, three different nations where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy at the time of Mashiach, primarily because of they rejoiced over the Korban Beis HaMikdash. So, that time of Mashiach, this already happened. This already has happened to some degree, so that's what we're going to discuss. We focused yesterday primarily on Amon. Amon, we learned that Amon was destroyed in two different parts, two different tekufas. First, it was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. After Nebuchadnezzar conquered Jerusalem, he went back to conquer the nation of Amon, but he did not stay there. He just plundered its spoils and did what he wanted to do there, and then he left. And the people were allowed to rebuild and to live in their land as before. But when Paras Amodai came on the scene, Koresh and Dayovish Amodai came on the scene, they went back to Amon and they completely obliterated Amon to the point where Amon ceased to be a nation. And we learned that yesterday all these four different expressions of destruction, they were Levaz. They became v'hechraticha min ha'amim. They no longer counted among the nations, and their boundaries were no longer swallowed up by other nations. V'havaticha min ha'aratzos. And then it says ashmidcha. We mentioned that possibly means is that their culture. There's no zecher of their culture, even if they're no longer called a nation. They no longer have a state, but at least maybe there'll be some zecher that this type of kus, this type of music, this type of art, this type of custom comes from a certain nation. Every nation, we all know music. Every nation has every culture has a certain type of music. You listen to music, you can right away identify where does this music come from. This is unique to this type of culture. Nothing. There's going to be absolutely nothing left from this nation of Amon because they rejoiced over the destruction, the Chorban of Eretz Yisrael. As the Pasuk really says, it's nothing new. When you left Mitzrayim, and just like they did not have the Hakar Satoif, we mentioned yesterday, the greater tefillah was that they had a duty, a moral duty to be good to Klal Yisrael because their very existence has come from Avraham Avinu, who was Meiser Nefesh to save their father Lot. Therefore, they are morally corrupt, and that's why there's nothing going to be left of them. Now, Pasuk continues, Pasuk Ches, Kirav the Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Ches Koi, Amar Hashem Elokim, Yana Emor Moav. Now we are going to the other two nations, Moav and Seir. Seir is Edoim. Okay, Seir. V'sati le'edoim is Har Seir. So, Koyim HaShem Elokim, Yan Emor Moav is Seir. Because Yan Amor Moav is Seir, Hinei Kechol HaGoyim Beis Yudah. Because Moav and Seir made a statement. Amor means they made a statement. What was their statement? That the Jews are nothing special. It's a very interesting idea. Is that until a certain point in time, even the Ma'amon above, they appreciated that there's something unique about Eretz Yisrael, about Klal Yisrael. But because they told the world that there's nothing special about them, they're just ordinary people, therefore Pasuk Chaf Tes says, L'chein diyafor, hinani foseach, I will open up es kesef Moav, the side of Moav. Now this means that when Moav was attacked, I'm not familiar with the geography, but the way the Mefarshim explained is that on one side, Moav, one side of their land, of their territory, it was an open land. It was just desert land. It was a wilderness. It was open. There was nothing special. On the other edge of their boundary, there were fortified cities. And along the fortified cities, they built a wall. Like a wall, like Mexico, as a wall. They built like a wall. One side of the country, there was a big, big, massive wall to protect the enemy from penetrating. There was no wall on the other side. It's like in America, right? Trump wants to build a wall along the southern border, along Mexico. What about the East Coast and the West Coast? The ocean? I guess the ocean is the wall. What about Canada? There's no talk about building a wall, right? So that was the same thing with Moav. On one side, there was heavily fortified, because that's where all the people lived. That's where they had all of their wealth. located, and on the other side was open land. And as far as their concern of coming under attack, they figured if we come under attack from the side where there is no fortification, we're not worried, because since it's so open, it's so vast, we will, when we detect that they're coming to attack us, we will go out towards them and we will fight. But on the other side, where our boundary, where all of our fortified cities are located, there's not going to be any time, there's not going to be any ability for us to go out and prevent them from entering. Therefore, we have to build strong walls as a very, very intense fortification against any possibility of intrusion. So if you would ask the average person living in Moab, from which side, if you do come under attack, where will the enemy come? They'll tell you from the side that's open, not from the side that's fortified. So Hashem says, I will show you. You think you can go and you can protect yourself from Chorban? The enemy will come along the Kesef Moav, the side of Moav, Meheorim, from the places where the cities are, Meheorim, Umeorav Mikotseu, from the cities. Two different words which mean the same thing, which we'll see in the Mepharsh in a moment, but basically means from the part of the country that is heavily fortified, from the edge. Tzvi, the beautiful part of your land. Eretz Beis HaYeshimos, the place, the land that is the Beis HaYeshimos. What does it mean, the Beis HaYeshimos? We'll see in the Mepharsh in a moment, but the fortified. Okay, the Yeshimais means the fortified sections. Baal Ma'on, name of a place. Vikirya Saima, and it's also a name of a place. That is where they're going to come and attack. Okay, let's see this in much more detail. We have here two different parts. It's possibly discussing what exactly their sin was. We have to clearly understand the sin of Ammon and Moab relative to the sin of Moab and Seir, relative to the sin of Ammon. So the Mitzudos in Pasuk Ches tells us, Pasuk Gechol HaGoyim, what exactly was their sins? Again, the Pasuk reads, Yan Amor Moav. Moav said, the Seir, and Seir as well, Hine Gechol HaGoyim Beis Yehuda, Mitzudos, Gechol HaGoyim, Kimo, just like every other nation, is their fate is dependent upon their mazel. There is no special hashkocha pratis. Hashem is not guarding over them. They're just left to fate. Gam kein Beis Yehuda, so too the Jews are nothing special. They have no special God. The ein deveka bochem hashkochas Hashem yosef mikol halmos. Hashem does not protect them, does not guard over them more than any other nation. Therefore, nimshu biyad Nebuchadnezzar ki yeser halmos, and that is why Nebuchadnezzar was successful in conquering Eretz Yisrael. The loy haminu shebigmul avoynim nimsaru. The people of Ammon and Moab, people of Moab and Seir, did not believe the reason why they were defeated was because of their sins. They either did not know of their sins, or they did not think that the sins were significant enough that they should be defeated. And the only reason why they were defeated was because they have just bad luck, bad mazel. Now that's because Moab and Seir made this statement. Pasuk Tes says they're going to be punished. Look, es kesef Moav meheorim. Now, kesef means the side. We'll see much more in the Radak. Meheorim, from the cities. Which side? One side of Moav is open land, wilderness, and the other side of Moav is cities. Es aver Moav, the side of Moav min heorim, from the side that is populated with cities. Now, what's the repetition? Why then does it go to say Me'orav, Mikot Seyu? So this is just an explanation. There's repetition. The words are purely repetitive. In order to give an elaboration, El Evimov, Ulitoisefes Beor, in order to explain what this means, Omar Me'orav Mikot Seyu. We're explaining these two words, explain what it means, Me'orav, Ritzon Olaimar, Eftach Ore Mivtzere Moav, I will open up the fortified cities of Moav, Ha'imdim Biktzei Gvuloi, which stand at the edge of its boundary, hamaynim, which protect, which prevent, es oyev lovo biartso. V'chasher yipaschu shari ha'orim ha'hem, and when the gates of these cities are opened, then yovei ha'oyev biartso, the enemy will enter and will go l'chol asher yisave, wherever it desires. This is the tzviar, so these beautiful cities is the beauty of the land of Moab. Just like we use the word Eretz HaTzvi in reference to Eretz Yisrael, we call it that it's the most beautiful land of the entire world. Here we're saying that these cities that are found along the edge of their boundary is the most beautiful portion of their land. Tzvi Eretz, Ritzon Eloimar, He'arim, these cities along the edge of their boundary, Shehem Chemdas V'Hadar Aretzo. It is the delight and the beauty, the splendor of their land. Ushe Mosam, what are their names? We now enumerate their names. Nam Beis HaYeshimos, that is the name of a city. Kihem Ori HaMivtzar, Shabik said, then it goes on to say the other cities. The Beis HaYeshimos, Baal Me'oin, Vikir Yosoima, three cities, three major cities, which were along the boundary of the land of Moab. Okay, so that is so far what we've learned in the Mitzvah. Let's see, Rashi, these two psuk, Pasuches, Hinei Kechol HaGoyim, Abes Yehuda, Botlo Ahavas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mehem, V'hinom Nim'asu, they are detested, Lo Seis B'yad Nebuchadnezzar, Kishor HaGoyim. Now notice, Rashi is very different than the Mitzvot. According to the Mitzvot, you get the impression that the Moav and Seir make a statement that the Jews have no God. They never did, they never will, they're no different than any other nation, they are purely dependent upon the mazalos. Every person is born in this world with a mazal, whatever will be, and therefore the Jews are absolutely no different. According to Rashi, that's not the impression you get. According to Rashi, Moav and Ammon acknowledge that, yeah, in the past, the Jewish people were special. They had siyata d'shmaya, Hashem was protecting them, Hashem was guarding them, but, you know, how long does love last? Love, sometimes, it dries up. And now they're nothing special. And now we will, that's why Nebuchadnezzar was successful in conquering them. They've now been detested. Period. Now, then we come to this famous Medrash, which Medrash you always hear on Tisha B'Av. You always hear this Chazal. Medrash HaGadol, Shenichnasu L'Heichal V'Kiflu Tzuras HaKruvim, Shetzor Shlomo Al Kir HaHeichal. Like it says, Kima'ar ish vilo yos. Okay, it says in the mingling of a man and a woman. It says, and this is something which is very bizarre, it's very hard for us to understand what this is all about, it's very mystical, very Kabbalistic, is that in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, now besides the fact that they were Kruvim, now the Kruvim, there are different interpretations of what the Kruvim look like. Some learn that it looks like a Zohar and a Keva, and they're looking at one another. In the Kruvim, it's a Pella because the Kruvim appears to be an idol. What are the Kruvim? It's a golden image. A golden image of a person, of a Zohar, a Nekeva, a child, an adult, a Malach, different Malachim. How in the world can you put what appears to be an idol inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Torah says, L'Sasel L'Chapesel. Now they're going to make a pesel, anything which is in the afil of Vashamayim Mimal, Velaretz Mitachas. So what's this all about? Enochinami, it's very bizarre. Enochinami, we don't know what it means, but this is not an Avodah Zarah. It's the Mokayim of the Hashuas Hashchina, and Hashem has demanded that the Hashuas Hashchina shall be done upon the image of the Kapayres, what's on top of the Ur Nakodesh, these two different images, which, if not for the Torah telling us to do this, you would ask any child, they would tell you it's clearly Avodah Zarah. It would appear to be a Pesach, an Avodah Zarah. So it's really, I mean, we're brainwashed. We're brainwashed and thinking, oh, this is the way it is. But if you're not brought up with this understanding, and you go, and therefore, the Goyim didn't know this, the average non-Jew in the world, they had no idea what was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Maybe they heard that in the Kodesh HaKadoshim was the Torah, but they never in their wildest dreams would imagine to find in the Kodesh HaKadoshim to find Kruvim. And it was the ultimate shock to them that when they conquered the Beis Hamikdash, they found in the Kodesh HaKadoshim the Kruvim, and they took it out in the street and they paraded the Kruvim in the street, and they told the world, look, the Jews worship idols just like everyone else. And the proof is, in their holiest temple, in the Holy of Holies, look what we found we found what appears to be an idol. Now, in addition, what?
And they were hugging each other.
And they were hugging each other. Now, in addition to that, this is what it says, that the Shlomo HaMelech was not satisfied with just the kuvim on the Arvon. First, he made also, in addition, he made two giant-sized kuvim. The kuvim on the Arvon was only 10 tfachim, which was which came up to the height of the table, maybe. But he also made these giant-sized, 10 amos, 20 feet, 20 feet tall, another two kuvim that were humongous. And that's like the ultimate type of, so what is that all about? It's also very hard to understand. And that was not enough. On the walls were plated, there were panels, images of man and woman embracing. The image of what looked like a man and woman, which you think is pornography. Right? It looked like pornography. Where? In the Kodesh HaKodashim.
So the big Kerubim, were they holy Kedusha also?
What?
Were they considered holy also?
Yeah, it was Alpi Ruach HaKodesh. Shlomo did not do anything without Hashem telling him to do. This was Ruach HaKodesh. Moshe made Kuvim on the Aron, and Shlomo made, in addition to the Kuvim on the Aron, which already was for Moshe, two giant-sized Kuvim that stood on the ground, that stood alone on the ground. And in addition, here's what Rashi is referring to, the walls of the Kodesh HaKodesh, and even the Kodesh, were paneled with the image of a man and woman embracing, which would appear to be, like I told you, pornography. And the Goyim were like baffled. Like, what in the world is this all about? It must be the Jews.
We're baffled also. So
what? That's right, we are baffled. That's right, we are.
Well, how can you say the Goyim shouldn't be baffled?
Exactly, exactly. So these are things which are beyond our understanding. So certainly beyond our understanding, certainly it's beyond the understanding of the Goyim. And when they came in and they saw Shetzar, where he says, Shetzar Shlomal Kir HaHechel Kima'ar Ish V'lo Yos. It means a man and a woman. A man and a woman, an Ish V'lo Yos, a woman embracing. That's the wallpaper of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it wasn't just wallpaper, it was the panels. So v'hoitzi'um lachutz, they took it out into the street. V'amuran, they said, Ru'u elu, look what we found in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Shehoyu marim atzmam, the Jews, they make believe they're such holy people, gesundheit. They're kitznuim, they make believe they're so holy. Everyone has a filter on their computer, on their smartphone. They have all these organizations, and they have an asifa and city field not to do all these things, and they're so nizer. And look what's going on. Look what's going on in the Kodesh HaKodashim. Bamo hayu oiskin. Look what they're doing inside. So this was a very great chilul Hashem. And why did Hashem bring it about, such a thing like this? I don't know. We don't understand, because maybe people privately were doing things that were not, we did learn, they were doing things privately that were not right. So this was a manifestation of the Chil Hashem. People were doing Averus B'tzina. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about that this should, now they should be exposed in such a way, B'far Hesya. So therefore, according to Rashi, that's what it means here in the Pasuk, Yan Amor, Moyav V'Seir, Moyav and Seir, they made a statement. Look! Now, you have to understand that if this is being used against them, it must then mean that Moab and Seir understood that it's not so simple. These images and the Kruvim and the represent very lofty, mystical, spiritual concepts. But they used it as propaganda. They took what they knew to be very, very holy and very spiritual, and in order to win public opinion, they used it, they bedafka used this as a way to spin it in a way that was negative for Klal Yisrael in order... Right, it was something that was, it's like it's honest. You take a dover that's choshuv and you belittle it. That is held against them, and therefore that is why the pasuk goes on to say they will be destroyed. That's how Rashi learns. Okay, the Radak is very similar. I'll see the reverse next pasuk test in Rashi. Hirni fasech es mivtzrei eretz Moav asher b'sfar b'soif gevulah. Like we said before, Moav has two boundaries. One is wasteland, is just wilderness, and one is the cities, the part of the country that has the cities, the fortified section, is where Hashem will penetrate, will breach its walls in order to allow the enemy to penetrate. Es mivtzrei eretz Moav asher b'sfar b'soif gevulah. Hu ha-kosef, this is the edge. Kosef means is the edge. Soif gevul aratzam, the edge of their boundary. Kamo vilakosef hashnis, like we have over when it comes to the Mishkan. There's the one side of the opening, the kosef. There's one side of the opening, the other side. It means like the shoulders, the two sides, the two edges, the two sides. El hakosef timitargem leivra means that there in the chumash. It means the side. Let's see radak pasuches and tes. Pasuk has the first section we're going to skip. Okay, the first Dibur Maschil, let's go to Hine. Jump down to where it says, the second Dibur HaMaschil, Hine Kechol HaGoyim Beis Yehuda. This is exactly what Rashi says. Lefish Shenishar Beis Yehuda Achar Golos. Before we get another idea, Lefish Shenishar Beis Yehuda Achar Golos Yisrael. Choshvu Kilo Yiglu Beis Yehuda Bibnei Beis HaMikdash HaShohoyi B'tzaycham V'ato Kishro Shogolu. Amru, they said, look, they're no different. Hine Kechol HaGoyim Beis Yehuda. Ki kol hagoyim laku al, everyone was conquered by Sancheriv. Sancheriv came along and was mebalbel the entire world. Population redistribution. Every nation was forced to relocate to a new country in order to be uncomfortable, and they will not have, they'll take time for them to resettle. They won't have time to make trouble for Sancheriv. And he exiled the Aseres HaShvatim. The only thing that Sancheriv was unable to exile, to relocate, were the people living in Yehuda, living in Yerushalayim. So the nations of the world, they took note of this miracle, that Sancheriv was unable to conquer Yerushalayim. It must then be that there is a God among the Jews who protects them. But now that 150 years later, Nebuchadnezzar was successful in conquering Jerusalem and relocating the people and bring them into exile and killing anyone who remained there. So now they said Hashem's love for his people has gone dry.
They really believe it, or they're just jealous?
I guess since here they're being punished, it must be they were just jealous. Since over here they're being punished, you can't punish a person for something that he couldn't protect himself from. Since over here Hashem is saying, "I'm going to punish, I'm going to destroy you," obviously it means you knew better. You knew deep down the reason why they were exiled was because of their sins. Yet you made believe it was not because of their sins; it's because there is no God, and you use that as a technique to gain public opinion, popped in the media to tell the world to belittle the Jews. Therefore, you're going to be punished. So obviously, it seems they did know, but they're not paying attention to.
Is this good? What are you saying, or bad?
What do you mean good?
Huh?
What do you mean good or bad? What do you mean?
He's saying that all these enemies of Yisrael will be destroyed.
So it's good and bad. It's never good. It's never good for someone to suffer. Not even a guy. It's they've done sins. They have done sins. They're going to have to suffer, and they're going to get what they deserve because they did cause pain and suffering to Klal Yisrael. So I mean, it's retribution is always good, but yet it's no, we're not looking that they should be our enemies. That's a different idea. That's a different idea. But over here, you're dealing with human beings. It's never a good thing for a human being to suffer. Why? Why would you want a human being to suffer? They deserve to suffer. They're evil. So evil has to be uprooted. But we would prefer they should not be evil and they don't have to suffer. Who's looking to make trouble? Next, so therefore they said the Shechin did not protect them. That's what they said about Klal Yisrael. Pasik Tes in the Radak. The word kesef means the side. He just points out over here that sometimes it is with a komatz kosef, and sometimes it's spelled with a segel kesef. Omar, what is the meaning? The meaning of here is Omar Eftach Eve Moiv Meharim. Hashem says, I'm going to allow the enemy to penetrate from the side of the nation where the cities are located. Mitzad Heorim, Habitsurois, along the edge of the fortified cities, Shalosh Shahoy Botech Bohem, the people of Moab, they felt secure that there's no way the enemy will penetrate from this side, because here we have all of our military installments. Misham, from there, Hashem says, too bad. I'm going to let the enemy penetrate from there. Misham eftach sheikonsu bochem oivehem. Period. The kafal od, and then the pasuk repeats itself. Emphasis. May arav mikotzeu kolaymar. May arav shayu mikotzeg vula from the cities that are on the edge of their boundary. Ki arim asher agvul yivatzer isam. The cities that are along the boundary will serve as a fortification for them. Ad yivatzer isam adam. The chazek isam.
They will fortify them.
The chazik osam yosim shor arim, and they will protect them more than the other cities. Umahe moisam ha'arim. What are the cities that we're referring to? We're referring to the three most beautiful cities of the nation: Svi Eretz, Chemdas Aretz, the delight of their land. Haim veHaim. And what are the three cities? They are number one Beis Hayishimos. That's the name of a city. Baal Me'oin and the Kiryas Soima. Uchsiv, there's a kriv uchsiv, it says v'kir yosoma b'lo yud achar atav ukri b'yud v'echad hu, is the same thing. Okay, so therefore, this is going to be the punishment. They're going to be in shock. They never would imagine the enemy will be able to penetrate from this section. Okay.
This is going to be
a parasamodai. Parasamodai. As we learned yesterday, that this going time of the ultimate korban that's going to happen after the defeat of Nebuchadnezzar.
And they were on the border? They were on that border?
These three cities, the Beis HaYishimos, Baal Moin, and Kiryas Soima, are on the border of Moab.
The fortified. On the other side of the border was
I don't know the geography. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's not so simple to trace where ancient Moab. They have in the back of the article Kodesh, the ancient Moab, ancient Ammon. I think there's. I remember reading that we don't really know exactly where the boundaries were.
We didn't have ways.
A lot of things have changed. I don't know. Right now, we'll just leave it with this idea: is that Moab. All we learn from the Farsh, that Moab has two. Moab is a very big piece of land. I'm not Moab. I'm saying Seir, Har Seir. It's a massive chunk of land, and on one edge there are fortified cities. On the other edge, there's an open land. Seir never expected that the enemy would come in from the side of the fortified cities, but that's exactly what happened. They were surprised. Pasuk Yud, Livnei Kedem al Bnei Amon. And this is a little bit more complex. Pasuk Yud is telling us what's going to happen. It's telling us that first, Parasumodai are going to conquer Seir. And once they enter into Seir, from there they will conquer Ammon and Moab. Livnei Kedem. To the people of Kedem, we have to just read the words and we'll see the portion more precisely. Livnei Kedem, concerning the Bnei Kedem, al Bnei Ammon, unisatia l'mayrosha, I will give the land as a mayrosha to the enemy, leman, so that lo si zocher b'nei Ammon b'agoyim. Then Pasuk Yud Aleph says, uv'moyav, don't forget about Moav, eser shefatim, I will execute judgment, v'yadu ki ani Hashem. So three nations. We have over here, I made a mistake. Moav. The three cities of Beis HaYishima, Baal Ma'oin, and Kiryas Soima are the cities of Moav. From Moab, the enemy will come into Ammon. We learned yesterday about the Churban of Ammon, but we did not yet learn how they're going to come, how they're going to enter. So let's see the Mepharshim to make it clear. Pasuk Yud in the Mitzudos Tavit. Pasuk Yud says, Livnei Kedem, Ritzon Lomar, Es Ha'orim Ha'hem Eftach Livnei Kedem. The Mitzudos is being consistent. When it said yesterday the word Bnei Kedem, that refers to Paras Umoda. Where did it say Bnei Kedem yesterday? It said back in Pasuk. Pasuk Dal, no, not Dal, Pasuk. I thought it's Bnei Kedem yesterday, no?
Dal.
So therefore, yesterday we only focused on the nation of Ammon. And we said that Ammon is going to be conquered by the Bnei Kedem. Who are the Bnei Kedem according to the Mitzudos? It is Paras Umadai. According to the Radak, it's Paras Umadai. We learned yesterday, the Chiddush Rashi says that Bnei Kedem refers to the Kastim and Aram. And we mentioned yesterday that that was a shocking thing for Rashi to say, as we mentioned from the parish of the Sifsei Zikainim, because the Kastim and Aram are not in any way on the east side of Ammon. So that was a difficult. So when we say Bnei Kedem, it means Kedem on the east side of the world, of the civilized world. They are the Bnei Kedem, and that we learned yesterday that according to Rashi, we're describing an earlier period of Churban. Okay, but let's learn according to the Mitzudos Davar L'Shitas. So he learned yesterday in the Radak as well as that when it says Bnei Kedem, it means Paras Umadai. Paras Umadai are going to conquer the nation of Ammon. And they're going to turn the land into a wasteland where it's going to be a place of camels and a mirbats tzoyin. And this is going to happen when Paras Umadai rise to power and take over and destroy Nebuchadnezzar and the nation of Babel. Then what we just learned yet to now, the first two, we describe the Churban of Moab. Moab will be destroyed, and we mention incidentally Seir, which we're going to come to at the end of the parak, very important pasuk, very very important pasuk that we'll get into in a moment, Seir. But we mentioned the Churban of Moab as well, and we mentioned that Moab is going to be they're going to be conquered from the side of their land where there are fortified cities. Now in this pasuk we're coming to explain the Seder. This that we said yesterday, that Ammon is going to be conquered, that's second. First, Paras Umadai will penetrate Moab on the side of the fortified cities, and from there they will spread to also conquer Ammon, as we mentioned yesterday. That's a Livnei Kedem. The Bnei Kedem, which refers to Paras Umadai, after they conquer the nation of Moab, as mentioned in Pasuk Tes, then they will proceed al Bnei Ammon to conquer Ammon, unisatil marosha, and they will live there. As we mentioned yesterday, they're going to set up their palaces and their mishkanos. And when that happens, there will be no zecher of the nation of Ammon, like we learned to the four lashonis of Churban, lo yizocher bnei Ammon bagoyim. And by the way, on the way to conquer Ammon, Moab will also be punished. But notice, it does not say that Moab will be obliterated from the face of the earth. Moab will continue to exist as a nation. They'll be part of the League of Nations. They will have their boundaries, their geographical, their state, and they will have a remnant, but not Ammon. Okay, let's again.
He sent away the children of Hagar to Kedem. I think.
The Kedem.
Yeah.
Okay, Rashi is very difficult, because what is Rashi referring? Because we discussed this before. Rashi is a very difficult parish. Which time period are we describing? Okay, well, maybe we'll come back to it in a moment. I just want to get through. Let's just get through the parish, the basic parish over here on the page. So first, let's go back again to Pasuk Yud. Again, Pasuk Yud in the Mitzudos David. Livnei Kedem, return to Loimar, Es Ha'arim, Ha'aim, Eftach, Livnei Kedem, Him Parasu Modai, Be'is Yelchu, Al Bnei Ammon. When they come to Ammon, the Etin Oz, Es Bnei Ammon, Lohem, Limei Rasha, and at that point in time, they will be, the Parasu Modai will inherit their land, Be'oifan Shlosi Zocher Oid, Bnei Ammon, Ben Umos, Ki Yishomdu, Mikol, Vuchol, they will be completely wiped off the face of the earth. Okay, that concludes. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Gidal. Yeah, okay. Pasuk Yam. Sorry, you're right. Pasuk Gidal. V'Moav. Ritzon Olay Marvi. Oz. Gam B'Moav Es Eshvatim. Ki Yiu Nimsonim Mihim. Gam Himo Biad B'nei Kedem. We'll also be delivering B'nei Kedem. V'Oz Yedu Ki Sheni Hashem. Hanemon L'Shalem Gimul. Hashem is the one who rewards and punishes. Let's see Rashi.
Confusing here.
The order is confusing, right? It's going back and forth, back and forth.
Back and forth.
We can go back. Which one comes first? Which one was worse? In fact, there was a medrash that describes which one of the two was worse. Maybe the Radak mentions it. Okay, let's see what it says first in the Radak. Radak Pasuk Yud. First Rashi. Pasuk Yud and Rashi. Levnei Kedem. Eftach Oysam Sheyavoch. What? Eftach in Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Yud. Oh, you don't have Eftach. Okay, I have Eftach. Eftach. Oysam Sheyavo al b'nei Amon derech eretz Moav.
Eftach makes more sense.
I will entice them
that they should come. I got to make a note here. Okay, mistake in the art scroll.
You and us and Sharon get along.
Maybe they have a different gear. This is pretty good. No, the other one, the blue one. That is a lot of this. Come on, you never find a mistake in the this. They were very, very careful in this edition. The other edition, you know, the one that looks like this.
Yeah.
That one is a lot of mistakes, riddled with mistakes. This one is pretty good. After Oysam Sheyavohu al b'nei Amon derech Eretz Moav, I will entice them. They should come al b'nei Amon through Eretz Moav. Moav will be the first country that will be attacked by Paras u'Madai. And once they penetrate from there, they will be able to spread and conquer the nation of Ammon. Next Rashi, there is no Rashi. Let's see the Radak Pasuk Yud, Livnei Kedem, Bnei Ammon, Livnei Kedem. Ekra, I will call out. Sheyavohu al Bnei Ammon. Vishana b'inyin Bnei Ammon b'parashas Moav. Now here the Radak is coming to ask the question, why is there so much repetition? And why is everything out of order? Why are we changing the order back and forth? So he explains, Lefi Sheheim Heireyu Yoiser Li Yisrael. The reason why we're going back now in Pasuk Tes, we mentioned Moav, and now in Pasuk Yud, we are returning to mention the Churban of Ammon that we learned all about yesterday, was because Hashem wants to knock the nail in the coffin harder. Why? Because they were worse. Ammon was worse to Klal Yisrael than the nation of Moab. What do they do? Lefi Sheheim Heril Yosel Yisrael V'Gitfu Oysam Yosel B'Golusam. They insulted them more when the Jews found themselves in exile. Kmo Shama B'Nevuas Amos Al Bikam Horos HaGilad, on the evil valleys of the Gilad, Leman HaChriv Eskevulam. It says there as well, Hashem is going to destroy the nation of Ammon. What? I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Let's leave it. I don't know what it means. The Chaynam Abenavuas Sefanya Shemati Cherpas Moav Vegidufei Bnei Amoin. Bnei Amoin Hirbu Gidufim Vechaynam Hine Yan Omrech Heach. That was before, because you said, let's rejoice over the destruction of the Jewish people. Yomar Yan Machacha Yod Verak Acha Berogel. That was going yesterday. You clap your hands and you stamp with your foot. Vatismach. Lefichach, therefore, hereba bipur anusam v'shana ba biparashas moav lefisha bnei amon amoiv achim hayu v'aritzoisam smucho zol lezol. Their neighbors, they're both going to be punished. But being that Amon was worse, their behavior was worse, was more despicable than their brother Moav. That is why they get a double mention of destruction. In fact, their destruction is much more severe. They're going to be given over to the nation of Paras u'Madai. Okay, that Yud Aleph and Radak is u'Moyav u'Mavurhu. This is self understood. Okay, now that's it. Okay, that's all. Now that's it. So far we've learned about the churban of these two nations, and now we come to Seir. Pasuk Yubeis, Koyamar. Hashem Elokim, Yan Asos Edom bin Koim Nokam Leves Yehuda, because Edom has taken revenge against Beis Yehuda, Vayeshmu Oshoim, they have become guilty, Vinikmu Vohem, I will also punish them. After we finish describing the punishment, we'll come to Ammon and Moab. Now we're going to describe the punishment that will come upon the nation of Edom. Edom is Esav, okay, a whole new branch in the family, a whole new part of the world. This is Edom. Let's see Pasuk Yud-Beis in the Mitzudos David. Yan Asos Edom. Ba'avur Asos Edom Masha Osa Be'es Nikmosi. Nokom El Beis Yehuda. Now what does this mean? Be'es Shagolu Me'artsom. When the Jews went into exile by Nebuchadnezzar, the people of Edom were mocking us. Udvar hamaisu humasha amar b'yom omotcha mineged v'chol ho'inyin. Okay, this refers to what it says in Ovadia, which basically means that when we went into exile, they just laughed at us, they mocked us, they insulted us. Vayeshmu oshaim oshmu bohem v'asu nukamo l'moshem b'yad ha'oyev k'mosh shenemar sham. They assisted. They were participants in the korban. They assisted Nebuchadnezzar in destroying Klal Yisrael. We have a lot of discussion about during the Holocaust, what role the church played in assisting Hitler in genocide and wiping off the Jews in the korban. Okay, so that's like history repeats itself, and there were some very horrible things that were done by the church, which made it very easy for Hitler, Yimach Shemo Zichro, to do what he did. So here, that's just a repetition of history. When Nebuchadnezzar conquered Yerushalayim, Edom made it easy. Edom provided assistance, provided things that made it easy for Nebuchadnezzar. So therefore, because they have committed this guilt, Pasuk again reads, one more time, Pasuk said, Koyam HaShem Elokim Yamikus Asos Edom. Because Edom did what they did, Bin Koim Nokam Leves Yehuda, at the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished the Jewish people, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at Klal Yisrael for their sins, and Hashem had to bring upon them punishment, Edom did what they did to make it easy for it to happen, in other words, to assist Nebuchadnezzar. Therefore, Vayeshmu Hashem, they have become guilty, and thus, V'nikmu V'chem, Hashem says, your day of reckoning will come. The day will come when I will have to punish you for what you have done, for your assistance. Let's see what it says in Rashi. Rashi, there is no Rashi in this pasuk. Radak pasuk yudbeis koyamar ato oimer bepuronish seir shezocha beparshas moyov ki seir hu Edom. Now we're going to describe the punishment will come upon seir. Seir is Edom, which we mentioned back in the pasuk before pasuk ches. We mentioned we grouped together seir together with Amun Moav. Next, Yan Asois Edom bin Koim Nokam Lebes Yehuda, Heru Bohem Masse Nokam, the Afal Pishahem Lechotu Lohem, the Osu Lohem Masha Osu, Kmosh Oma bin Wus Ovadia, Al Talmud, Al Aperik Lahachris Es Plito, the Cholini Kmosh Omosh. I'm not familiar with this, what it says over there, but basically what it means is that they assisted, they participated in helping the Nebuchadnezzar destroy Klal Yisrael. Vayeshmu oshoim, oshmu v'chotu aleihem, ki acheihem, they added sin, ki acheihem hoyu, v'lozochru bris achem. They are guilty. They committed an act of guilt by not helping Klal Yisrael, because Esav is our brother. Okay, that's very important. Esav is the brother of Klal Yisrael. It's Yaakov and Esav. So Esav should have shown some compassion to their brother at their time of their difficulty, and yet they did not do so. They showed bin koim nakam leves Yehuda. So the way the mitzulus, I told you the word bin koim nakam refers to Hashem. I think there are two different ways to translate the word bin koim nakam. Either you learn that Edom has done a sin at the time when Hashem has punished Klal Yisrael. Radak seems to say, Yana sois Edom. Edom has done a sin. What was the sin? Bin koim nokam. They've also expressed a degree of revenge, of vengeance against Beis Yehuda at the time of their difficulty. So either words bin koim nokam refers to Edom, or nokam nokam refers to Hashem. Hashem is punishing Klal Yisrael, and at this critical time, Edom has helped out, has assisted Nebuchadnezzar in bringing about the korban. Therefore, Pasuk Yud-Gimel goes on to say they're going to be destroyed. Let's see the Nikmu Nagvim Bohem. Let's see the last words of the Radak. Nimsa Kain Acherim Bikesher HaBeket. That's a grammar. Let's leave that out. Pasuk Yud-Gimel. Therefore, Luchain, therefore. Koi Omar Hashem Elokim. Vinotisi Yodi Al Edom. The day will come when I'll stretch out my hand on Edom. Vichrati Mimena Odom Vehema. I will wipe out from Edom man and animal. Unisatia chorba mitaymon, I will make it desolate from the south. Udidone, and the city, it's the name of a city of Edom, Bacherev, Yipolu, they will fall by sword. Okay, so this pasuk Gimel, let's see inside the Mitzudos David, Vinotisi Yodi, I will spread my hand upon Edom, Hakos to wipe out Edom, Vikrati Bo Kitia Shemama Umeiteman, Mipaas Hadoroim, Taschil Achorba, Nuchilu Omashakol, Dechorev, the entire city will become destroyed, Mipaas Hadoroim, at Eretz Yisrael, Omedes Bitzvaina. Edom is in the south of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, all the way from the very, very edge of their land, going all the way up to the border of Eretz Yisrael, they will be destroyed. What does it mean here? U-di-do-neh. Anshe-ir-di-don. This was a popular city in Edom. Who ir
gedol? Didon or Don?
I have Didon. I have here ir-di-don. Anshe-ir-di-don, of Don. Vu ir gedol bi-eretz Edom. And it's one of the big cities in Edom. Rashi says, Udidoneho. In the Mitzudos?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Anche Ir Don, who Ir Gedola Ba'oretz.
Ba'oretz, okay. In their land. Rashi says,
no,
in their land. In their land. In their land. Ba'oretz means in their land. Over here it says Ba'oretz Edom. So I'm assuming it says Ba'oretz, it means the land of Edom. Rashi says, Udidoneho, V'yosvei Didon. It seems that this city, Didon, is the name of a city. It's one of the major cities of Edom. And this city will be completely obliterated all the way, the whole land from the south all the way up to the north will be wiped out in punishment for what they have done to Klal Yisrael. Let's see, Radak
Pasuk. Where was Shevet Don in terms of...
Shevet Don, I think, was along the Mediterranean.
North.
Okay, north. Okay.
Shevet Don was right on the...
So this then is... I think this is a city, one of the cities of... Pash, one of the cities of Edom. Okay, let's see Radak. Radak Pasuk Gimel. Therefore, Akarim Hashem Nesanil Charba Miteimon. Etain Edom Charba Mitzah Teimon. Kolma She Teimon Techarev. The southern side of the nation will be destroyed. Ki Teimon B'char Alifas Ben Esav. Teimon is one of the names of Esav's son. Teimon B'char Alifas Ben Esav. V'Arutzo Nikreis Al Shemo Teimon. So he's not learning the south. The Mitzudos said that Teimon was the south. He says no, Teimon is the name of the city, because Teimon was one of the children of Eliphaz, the grandson of Esav. Is so Teimon is name of a place. The Yonas and Tergay Midoroima, that was the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos said that Teimon was the southern side of the land of Edom. Either name of a city name, Udidoneh. Ha-hei noisefes. The hei in this word is extra. Ki hu mila'el. The atam bedalis. The emphasis is mila'el, is the beginning of the word. And the time is on the dalit. V'rotzoloimar. Yoshvei didon. The people that live in this city. Ba'cherev yipalu. Udidon hi ir gidoila bi'eretz edoim. V'chein zachor yirmya b'nevuasa. Yoshvei didon. Okay, so therefore this pasuk tells us about the korban of Edom. They will suffer as a consequence of participating in the Churban of the Beis Hamikdash, assisting Nebuchadnezzar, as is mentioned in Avadia. Avadia is the Haftarah that we learn in Parashas, I think, Vayishlach, the entire Sefer Avadia, and there it describes exactly what they've done. They have rejoiced, they took delight in the Churban of Eretz Yisrael, and they actually participated. Now comes a very, very important Pasuk, Pasuk Gidal. This Pasuk is a very popular Pasuk. It says here, Vinosati es nikmosi be'edoim. The day will come when I will deliver my vengeance be'edoim. Now here is something different that is not like we mentioned with regard to Amoinu Moyov. Let's take a step back. When Hashem, we learned before that Hashem says, these two nations, Amoin and Moyov, will suffer the consequences of rejoicing over the Churban of Eretz Yisrael. When Moab will be destroyed for saying that there's nothing special about Klal Yisrael, they're just an ordinary people that it depends upon their fate, depends upon the mazalos. The one that's going to punish them is not Klal Yisrael. The one that's going to punish them will be Paras Umodai. Klal Yisrael will not be involved whatsoever in bringing punishment upon the nations of Amoin and Moab. It will be the B'nai Kedem. But here, when it comes to Edom, the one that will be the one that will go to war against them, Milchemes Goyg u'Magog, the one that's going to go to war against them will be Klal Yisrael. That's very interesting. V'nosati es nikmosi be'edom, through whom biyad ami Yisrael. Again, this cannot be emphasized more. That means we're going to be going to war. Klal Yisrael, well, maybe the war already happened. And it's the Radak that talks about
it.
So that's the Radak. Biyad ami Yisrael, the asu ve'edom, and it will be done, I will do in Edom, ka'api, according to my anger, v'chachamosi, and my fury. And when this happens, v'yodu es nikmosi, they will know my vengeance, nu'um Hashem Elokim. Now, which time frame is this? So simply, we are consistent. We are dealing with the time of Parasum. I mean, until now, we've been dealing with the time of Parasum Odai. The Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Yerushalayim. Along comes Parasum Odai and destroys Nebuchadnezzar. Parasum Odai come in and they wipe out Amon Umayyad. So we would assume that at that point in time, when Klal Yisrael was given permission once again to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, the time of the Bayis Sheni, which is the time of when Parasum Odai are in power, Klal Yisrael at that same moment in time will go to war against the Romans, will go to war against, not the Romans, I mean the Romans didn't really exist, not the Greeks, I mean they didn't really exist yet, the Romans, but it means the nation of Edom, and conquer them. And indeed, I'll just give you some, the Radak says, indeed, that's what the Pasuk means. The problem with that is, we have no historical record that during the time of the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, that there was a war between the Jews and the nation of Edom, where the Jews succeeded in wiping them out and punishing them for rejoicing over their downfall or for participating in the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But because the Pasuk says this, we have to assume that this indeed did happen at some point during the time of the Bayis Sheni. Because Parasum Odai is the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. Amon u'Moab were wiped out during this period of time. Or at least Ammon was wiped out. Moab was not wiped out, but Moab was severely punished. And the Pasuk here says that Edom is now going to be destroyed through Klal Yisrael. It must be that it happened. Really? Open up the history books, Google it. You're not going to find any record of it. It must be. It happened. It's just for whatever reason. They didn't keep records in those days, so we don't know about it. The other interpretation is, if you can't find it on Google, it never happened. So if it never happened, so what then does this pasuk mean? It means in times of Mashiach, it has not yet happened. It will happen when there will be a war between Klal Yisrael and Edom, and Hashem will destroy Edom through Klal Yisrael. So let's see this. That's Yavan. That's not Edom. That's the Greeks. The Chashmonaim, the miracle of the Hanukkah miracle, is not Edom. That's the Yevanim. So that cannot possibly mean what this pasuk means. Okay, so let's see what it says in the Mitzvah of the pasuk.
We don't know who these nations are today, right?
We forget them as well.
Edom. Who is Edom? So I mean, Edom. We're living now in Golus Edom. Is Lachora Edom is this Western civilization? It's the entire conglomerate of the West. Western thought.
Israel is going to be the arm of the Jews in destroying it. Is that?
And Yisrael is going to be so we're very happy. We're very happy with Edom today, are we not? We enjoy all the movies, all the culture of the Western civilization. We were very happy here. Malchus shel Chesed, okay, freedom of religion. It's never been so good for Klal Yisrael. Yet Edom presents very great dangers.
But we refer Hanukkah like Greeks. But
Hanukkah is Yavan.
They're not actual Greeks.
No.
They were the local, which is
the Yavanim. That was an entirely different philosophy. That was Greek. That was the different, entirely different approach to life. The Yavanim, Edom is not Yavan. Edom has its approach to life, and Yavan has its approach. And at that point in time in history, the threat to Klal Yisrael was from the Yavanim. It was it's hard for us to appreciate what exactly is the emphasis. How does Yavan differ than Edom? I don't know, but it seems to be very different.
Okay. You're saying that Dedan was part of Edom?
Dedan is a city, a major city. Dedan
I
is
just
a,
mentioned the first time in B'nai Chom. Mm-hmm. That's in Parshas Noach.
It says that by B'nai Cham. And Cham... Okay, so it could be it was taken over. Maybe Seir, they took it over. It could be that, that's ancient times. It could be that Ul-Esav Nasatius Har Seir Yerusha. So it could be they took over the city of Dedan, or maybe there was another city called Dedan. I don't know. But here the Pasuk...
Originally the name of person, B'nai Ram
Ah, they change it. Okay, I don't know. Obviously, there was some change. Let's see the Mitzudos of Pasuk Yudalit. Pasuk here says about Yudalit Vinosati. Return to Leimar. Oid Yovoy Zman. The day will yet come. Shed Nokein Be Edoim. I will take revenge against the nation of Edoim.
You have Edom?
I have Edoim, yes.
We have Amalek.
Amalek, okay, so I guess the censor must have changed it, it's all the same. Amalek is the Chelek, Amalek is the grandson, is also part of Edom. It's the grandson of Esav. Biad Ami Yisrael. V'al Kerech Godol Yoimar.
Habor. Very different.
Okay, what do you have?
Val Har Seir.
Val Har Seir. I have on a city Godol Yoimar. Habor Me Edom. V'zeh, okay, whatever that means. V'zeh Yihye Le'osit. This has, according to the Mitzudos, this has not yet happened. Obviously, the Mitzudos studied history. And there is no record in any time in history where Klal Yisrael had enough power to go to war against the nation of Edom and succeed in conquering them. Okay, you want to talk about the Bar Kokhba rebellion? That was unsuccessful. They didn't survive. The Six-Day War, that was against the Ishmaelim. That was against the Ishmaelim, Egypt. That's not against... So Yoimar me Edom v'zeh yiyel osid chumoy shekasa v'olu moshim behar tzion l'shvores haresa v'hoysel shamlucha. So therefore, according to the parish of the Mitzvah, this event has not yet happened because we do not find any record. Pasuk Yudal in Rashi. Rashi said, I finished this in Mitzvah, so let me just turn the page. Further in Rashi, in the Mitzvah, v'osu Yisrael yasubo kifi api v'chamasi olecha. They will know that to Hashem it's not happened by chance. Rashi Pasuk Yudal, it says Biyad Am Yisrael Heim Yihyu Shiluchai Linkoim Nikmasi. The Jewish people will be Hashem's agents in punishing, in bringing retribution to the nation of Edom for their sins. Radak. Radak is the most interesting of them all. We finish all the Rashi, Radak, Pasuk, Yudalid. Now the first section we're going to, Radak, Pasuk, Yudalid, Mizen Nira, Nosati, Biyad, Ami, Yisrael, Mizen Nira, Kinevuo, Zo, Asida. This has not yet happened. Unlike what we mentioned with regard to Amun, Mayav, the Evshar, then he goes on to say that it did happen. The Evshar, Gam, Kain, Shehoisa, Baba, Yesheni. Maybe we can suggest that indeed this did happen. Time of the Bayis Sheni, Shegavra Yad Yisrael Aleihem V'Hecharivum. What?
Is he talking about
Bar Kokhba? No, Bar Kokhba was after the Bayis Sheni. Bar Kokhba took place after the Bayis Sheni. But so therefore, the Bar Kokhba cannot be because of here it says they're going to be destroyed. And Bar Kokhba they did not destroy. The only time we find that Jews going to war against the Romans was in the Bar Kokhba revolt. That's the only thing we have on record in history. And that is not obviously a fulfillment of what it says here in this pasuk, because this pasuk says that the Jews will be victorious, and it was not so. They were defeated. So when then do we have a record? So he says, and everyone is saying in the Hanami, this has not yet happened. However, he does say over here in the Radak that maybe the Efshar, maybe there's a possibility that Gam Kein Shechoyse B'Bayis Sheni, and indeed it did happen. It happened sometime during the 420 years of the Bayis Sheni. There was a war between the Jews and the nation of Edom, where the Jews were victorious. The Efshar Shegam Kein Shechoyse B'Bayis Sheni Shegavra Yad Yisrael Aleihem V'Hecharivam. V'ze Lo Yodanu. We don't know about this. There's no record. The record of what happened during the time of the Bayis Sheni is not written b'sefer hanevuos in the Sifrei Nevi'im, because the Sifrei Nevi'im conclude with the beginning of the building of the Bayis Sheni. So we have no record from the Ksuvim, the Nevi'im Ksuvim, and historically we have no record of this happening either. Maybe it did happen, it just we do not know. Okay, so therefore this is what?
That's too early?
That's not Edom.
What? Who?
Yeah, the Maccabees is not Edom.
No, that's Yavon. That's Yavon. No. No, it's not. Yavon is not Edom. Yavon is not Edom. It cannot be. It cannot be. That's Parasamodai. That's Parasamodai. That's not Edom. Haman was Amalek, but Haman was Amalek. But there was no war. They didn't destroy them. Nothing. They killed 500 people. It doesn't mean they were defeated. There was no war. It seems that he doesn't want to say that. It seems that that's not called significant enough to say that. No, even the Malmon, no one says that. No one seems to say that it was ever fulfilled. So we have over here basically three nations. Amon, Moab. Now let me tell you one Maamar Chazal. Okay, one Maamar Chazal is in Masechta. This pasuk is a very popular pasuk that you hear mentioned in the drashas of Tisha B'Av. What's Vinasati? I'll learn you the whole Maamar Chazal. Vinasati is Nikmasi Biadam Biad Ami Yisrael. Shadar Ilavayu Leniroin Kesar. After Nivuzaradan was Megayer. Nivuzaradan was the chief executioner, and after he tried to appease the blood of Zechariah ben Yehoyada. He saw how Hashem punished Hashem. So much blood was spilled just for the death of one person. So he said, Allah has kama v'kama, how much more so am I going to be punished for what I have done? So he left, he disappeared. So Neron Kesar, he sent Shada Ilavayu Neron Kesar, Lahachriv Es Yerushalayim. So he sent a new messenger to take over. He Ka'ase Shada Gira Lemizrach, he shot an arrow to the east. Also, Nofal Birushalayim. Lamar of Also, Nofal Birushalayim. Did a test, Nichosh, to see which way, if he shoots an arrow, which way is it, where will it land. Each of the four directions in which he shot the arrow, it went and the arrow turned toward Yushalayim. Omar Leili Yunuka. Then he says to Chal, tell me your pasuk, tell me what you've learned in Yeshiva today. This is what Neroin Kesar asked the child, and the child told him this very pasuk. See, so the child, he went to the morning koil, and he learned Yecheskel, Perek Chav Hey, pasuk Yudalit, and Neroin Kesar. When he asked the child said, "Vinosati es nikmasi be'edoim biyad ami Yisrael." When Neroin Kesar heard these words, Omar, he said, Could Shabrichu boy lecharuve beise? He wants to destroy his house. Uvoy lechapure yode bahu gavra, and he wants to wipe his hands on me, on himself, on that person. I'm going to be. Hashem says that he's going to exact his vengeance against Edom through the Jewish people. I represent Edom. I'm coming here as a representative of the nation of Edom to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. That means I'm going to bear the brunt of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's revenge. What do I need this for? I need to be, let someone else do the dirty work. I need to be the one that's going to suffer. Arak, he ran away. The Azal, the Igayar, and he was Megayer, Unifak, Mine, Rabbi Meir. Neron Kesar, you should know, among the Roman history, is one of the most mysterious. They were so, it appears, I once read a fascinating article, Chanukah, by Lauren Schiffman. You know Lauren Schiffman? He's a big professor. Yes. He used to be a professor in NYU, all over the place. Now he's, I think, in NYU, right? Nero. So Nero has been, they've whitewashed this whole history. Nero, there's a lot of very interesting things about Nero, but basically the Romans were so embarrassed that Nero, he was Megayer, he was a glorious, he was a very, very influential person among the Romans, and he was sent by the Caesar by the emperor to go and take the lead in destroying Yerushalayim. And when he decided he doesn't want from this, and he just defected, he was Megayer, and from him came to be mayor, the Romans couldn't deal with this. It was such a blow to their esteem, who they were. They went crazy, and they basically rewrote history. They literally rewrote history. They wiped them out of their records. They rewrote history in order to hide this from the world, what happened with Nero. And we have evidence of this. So Lauren Schiffman, I believe, he has some very interesting articles about this, showing how he's probably from all of the emperors.
So he didn't fail, he just went to
Yerushalayim? It says that this Gemara is just giving us the Rosh HaProkim. And it was all based, the whole story, only thing we made, you do some research, go online and type in Nero and do some research on Nero. You have to remember, everything about Nero, according to Chazal, revolves around this pasuk. The story of Nero all is rooted in this pasuk. When he learned this pasuk, V'nasati es nikmasi be'edom biyad ami Yisrael, the one that's going to punish me is Klal Yisrael. And at that time, V'asu ve'edom ke'api v'chachamasi v'yadu es nikmasi numa Hashem Elokim. This is what affected Nero to the degree where he defected. He was Megayer. He abandoned everything that he represented from the nation of Rome. It was Megayer. And from him comes Rebbe Meir. Stam Mishnah ki Rebbe Meir.
How long does it take the Romans to recover from this?
Not that long, it seems. Doesn't seem too long. But it is something that if you have time, definitely try to at least Google it and see what you see what you can come up with. Nero.
This was like 200-300 years after the Churban Bayishen.
No, this was the time of the Bayis. Oh. This was at the moment of the Churban Bayishen. So you have to. That's the whole story. You have to know which Nero we're referring to. You have to consult with Lawrence Schiffman, Dr. Lawrence Schiffman,
they
even have a bust. They have a bust of him. Of Nero.
Why is this worse in the story of Uncleus
was not. Uncleus was not a powerful person. Uncleus was just a private in the army. He was a nephew. He wasn't a powerful, influential person. Nero was in line to be the next emperor of the Romans. He was all the way up there. He was second, third in command. He was all the way on the top. He would have been the next emperor. And in the meantime, he was given a very important mission of conquering Eretz Yisrael. And when the child told him this pasuk, he went crazy. He was Megayer and crazy. He saw the light. And Mishnayos, the Halakha of Rebbe Meir, came out of Nero and Keir. So this pasuk
also was after the Churban.
No, Rameir was a little bit after the Churban.
Was he a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva?
The Mishnayos were codified about 100 years after. After the Churban. Not that much long. The Mishnayos, the Tanoim lived at the tail end of the Bayis Sheni, going on for another 100 years maybe, and then starts all the Amoraim. The Talmud Bavli was completed about 500 years after the Churban.
Like 70, 80 years after the Churban.
Right. In a Chanami. So he was from the Tanoim.
So Nero was when? Right? Before the Churban? There must be a different Nero.
No. You have to know which Nero. You have to know which. You have to trace the correct Nero. I don't know the history. All right. So at least we concluded today that there are more Nero. But at least let's take away from this. Keep in mind, this parak is unique. We're describing three nations. Each one is unique. There is Ammon, there is Moab, and there is Edom. Now, by the way, there's another medrash I can't find over here. Is that this? Let me actually read the Mari Kara. The Mari Kara is very important. Mari Kara, you have it in your edition. Pasuk Gidal. V'nasati es nikmasi be'edom biyad ami Yisrael. Nikama zo meula hi mikol nikama shebatar. It's a gvaldig Mari Kara, what he writes here. Could I the whole shir just for this to read these words? This type of vengeance is the most, is the best. It's the most superior. Me'ula hi mikol nekama shebetayra, shenachas ruach gadol hu le'adam. A human being has very great satisfaction. Sheyochol linkoim atzmai. He himself can be the one that takes revenge. V'lasos besoinoi kiritzoi nafshai. Person has much greater satisfaction when he's the one that executes revenge, vengeance, punishment, retribution, than when it happens by someone else. Now, you ask the average person, is that really true? Would you really say that? Yes and no. I mean, it's a very, some people are very squeamish. Like, someone causes you harm. You want to be the one to pull the, to bring about his death. I don't know, but over here the Mari Kara says that this is something which is very satisfying, that Klal Yisrael themselves are going to be given the opportunity to take revenge for what Bnei Edom has done to them, and that's what it says. Biyad Ami Yisrael, you don't have this in any other nation, not by Yishmael, not by Amon Umayov, not by the Plishtim, The only one that you find this is by Edom. Edom was not even the one who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Nebuchadnezzar was the one who destroyed the Beis Rishon. Kasdim, a whole different nation. They destroyed the Beis Sheni. Okay, let's not make any mistake about it. Beis Sheni was destroyed by Edom, but that is what it says over here. It's very satisfying. Again, the main points are the two different nations. Ammon will be obliterated from the nation. They will no longer cease to exist, not as a nation, not as a state, with their location in this world, not as a culture. Moab will remain to exist in this world, but they will be severely punished. Edom will be destroyed. Two different interpretations of the Radak. Will this pasuk happen in the future, or did it already happen to some degree during the time by Yesheni? We have this fascinating pasuk which tells us about Neron Kesar. It was the trigger for him to abandon Rome and become a member of Klal Yisrael, and from him came Aram Meir. And we have this beautiful Marie Kara, which tells us is that this is the most satisfying form of revenge in the entire Torah, where Klal Yisrael themselves have the opportunity to take revenge for what the enemy has done to us. Okay, we'll stop here. Tomorrow we'll pick up with Tesvav, with the Pelishtim, the next nation that's going to be punished.